From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The United States Air Force Academy is one of the nation's elite military training grounds. It is also no stranger to controversy. 2 years ago, the Academy was rocked by a sexual assault scandal. Now, it's fighting charges of religious intolerance. The Air Force Academy sits in Colorado Springs, a stronghold of conservative evangelical Christian groups. Fair enough. But now there are reports of aggressive on-campus proselytizing and slurs toward non-born-again cadets. One of the Air Force's own chaplains, Captain Melinda Morton, says it's a systemic and pervasive problem, and she's not the only one. Tonight on Point, God and the U.S. Air Force Academy. We begin tonight with a step-back look at the facts and latest developments. Pam Zubek is a reporter with the Colorado Springs Gazette. I asked her to bring us up to speed on where the controversy stands.
Currently, everyone is waiting for the Air Force Task Force to submit its report to the Acting Secretary, Michael Dominguez, which is supposed to occur on Monday. This task force was appointed after many allegations came flooding out, you might say, starting a year ago February with a faculty survey that indicated there were some religious bias issues on campus.
Now, Chaplain Captain Melinda Morton ended up in the center of all this. How did that happen?
Apparently, she tells the story that she had spoken out on religious diversity issues, made it clear where she stood in terms of being an advocate for all kinds of different religious beliefs and non-beliefs, and wasn't embraced, you might say, by the chaplaincy at the Air Force Academy. And specifically, she talks in terms of some issues that were reported by Yale Divinity School last summer that subsequent to that, the chaplaincy has denied occurred.
Trace this back for us. When did religious issues at the Air Force Academy first become an issue? The last we heard, there was an issue with sexual harassment, sexual assault. Now suddenly we're looking at this. What are the roots of this controversy?
The roots, who knows? It could go back decades, for all we know. But the first indicator to the leadership, so they say, came last February of 2004 in a faculty survey in which they say there were indicators. Now, what those indicators were specifically, I can't say. The following month, there was many controversy, I guess you might say, when flyers promoting the Passion of the Christ movie were placed all over campus, including at every cadet's place setting in the mess hall. Some people complained about it. They were removed. And subsequent to that, there have been other cadets come forward and file complaints about being called names, about being treated badly because, say, they were an atheist, and those sorts of things. So, but February 2004 is when it began.
Now, the Yale Divinity School team got involved at what point?
They were invited last summer to attend a week of basic training and observe the chaplain corps and how they interacted with women and cadets relative to the sexual assault issue.
And while they were there, they came upon something else that caught their attention.
Yes, they certainly did. They observed a Protestant service attended by about 600 cadets, we're told, during which they observed what they called stridently evangelical themes that they believed fostered divisions rather than cohesiveness, which is the whole objective of basic training. And they reported such in a report dated July the 30th, I believe, of last summer.
Now, there seem to be two kind of wings to this. One is very active proselytizing on campus, Christian evangelical proselytizing. The other, some cadets and perhaps others feeling offended or sometimes having been or reporting having been insulted. On that side first, we read that there are 50, 55 complaints in the last couple of years on this religious front. Of what kind of complaints?
Those complaints, by the way, date back to 2000, so it's 55 over about a four-and-a-half-year period, The complaints range from being called despicable names because of their religious belief to being required to march in a heathen flight.
What is a heathen flight?
At basic training, when the time of day or the week comes to attend a worship service, the Protestants go to worship service, the Jewish cadets go to worship service, and then the ones that are non-believers are told to march in the heathen flight.
That is, instead of sitting and praying in a service, they'll be marching.
Well, they all march to their services.
I see.
So this particular group would march back to the barracks.
I see. But they've been tagged heathens, and off they go.
In the past, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side is proselytizing, presumably not meant to offend, but very active.
I guess that depends on who you speak with. The Academy maintains that this is not a deep-rooted problem. It's not systemic. It's a few isolated cases that have gotten a lot of publicity, and that by and large, the Academy is fine. There's not that much of an issue going on. Other people report that they are approached regularly. One cadet I interviewed some time ago said that he was probably approached a dozen times while he was there by someone who wanted him to become born again. It's a hard thing to get your hands around. I think that's why everyone is looking forward to this task force report to see what they've found.
Is there a sense that the Air Force Academy has been turned into a kind of evangelical school where the top officer ranks are endorsing a kind of general born-again environment, encouraging a born-again core?
There is a contention based on anecdotal evidence that includes some faculty members that introduce themselves as born-again Christians and encourage cadets to attend their church. One faculty member that required cadets to pray before taking an exam. The Commandant of Cadets, Brigadier General Johnny Wida, who issued a Commandant's guidance to cadets in June of 2003 that told them that their first duty was to God, and he has also made it clear that he is an evangelical Christian. And then, of course, there's the Fisher DeBerry, the football coach, incidents, one of which was last November when he hung a banner in the athletic department that said, "I am a Christian first and last. I am a member of Team Jesus Christ." So the perceptions that are out there are based on this anecdotal evidence. Now, you know, is it pervasive? That's a good question.
Remind us of the larger environment that the Air Force Academy is in Colorado Springs. This is a national center of Christian evangelism, conservative evangelism.
It certainly is. It's the home of Focus on the Family and also New Life Church, which is the largest church in the state of Colorado with over 10,000 members, which is rooted in evangelicalism. And we have lots of other Christian nonprofits based here as well. And what the connection is has not been fully explored.
Well, we're going to be digging into that tonight with Chaplain Captain Melinda Morton and others. Pam Zubek at the Gazette in Colorado Springs, thanks for your reporting, and thanks very much for being with us.
Certainly.
Pam Zubek is a reporter for the Colorado Springs Gazette. She spoke with me from Colorado Springs. We're talking tonight about God and the Air Force Academy, allegations of religious proselytizing and intolerance at the Academy. You can join the conversation. Where does the church-state line belong when it comes to faith and America's fighting forces? Does it sound to you like the line has been crossed here or not? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That is 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Colorado is Captain Melinda Morton. She is a captain in the Air Force and a chaplain at the Air Force Academy. She's a 13-year Air Force veteran and has held a variety of positions over the years, including missile launch officer. She's also a Lutheran minister and holds graduate degrees in divinity and law. In 2002, she was assigned as chaplain to the Air Force Academy. She co-authored a 2004 Yale Divinity School report that noted stridently evangelical themes at the Academy. Now, Captain Morton is speaking out. Captain Melinda Morton, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Trying to get a sense of your position right now. It was reported last week that you were being shipped out to Okinawa, that you'd been cut off as executive officer within the chaplain's office. Is that still correct? What's your status as we speak this evening, Captain Morton?
I was dismissed as executive officer, and I do have a report out date in July to report to Okinawa. That is correct.
You have recently been quoted as saying that in speaking out, you realize that this is the end of your Air Force career. What do you mean by that? What's happening?
I think that it's well known in the Air Force that when there are expectations that when folks come forward, speak to the press without public affairs permission to do so, that one puts one's career at risk, because in general, large institutions such as the Air Force mm-hmm. see that as profoundly disloyal.
And why are you taking that profound step in these last few days, Captain Morton?
Well, it's not a step that I rushed toward at all. I had worked very hard on this issue since it began to become an apparent issue, and even before that, at the Air Force Academy. I was on the Tiger team that worked very hard on the program known now as RSVP, or Respecting the Spiritual Values of All People, and worked on that program from the 15th of August of last year until we rolled out on the 29th of March of this
mm-hmm,
year,
mm-hmm.
And had generally worked extremely hard within the system, and had great confidence that we would really try to address these problems head on. I was, however, disheartened when, at the end of last summer, after the Yale team came, and we wrote our report, and we briefed our report to all the chaplains, excepting Chaplain Whittington, who recused himself from the outbrief. We gave a 2-hour outbrief of that of our report, and interacted with the chaplains about these specific concerns that the Yale team had about specific articulations within worship services, and not only within worship services, but also out on the training courses with the cadets and in interpersonal interaction.
And you didn't hear the response that you hoped for there. Captain Melinda Morton, please stand by. There's a lot more we want to hear from you tonight. We're very glad you're with us. We're talking tonight about God and the Air Force Academy. Listeners, you can join us. How much religion on this campus is too much religion on this campus? The U.S. Air Force Academy, 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about God and the U.S. Air Force Academy, about allegations of systemic religious proselytizing and intolerance where the country's Air Force elite is trained. You can join the conversation tonight. What do you think? When does proselytizing become a problem in the country's future officer corps? And is promoting Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ going too far? What about warning that non-born-again Christians will burn in hell? What about calling non-believers or Jews heathens or worse? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-8255. Talk. We're joined tonight from Colorado by Captain Melinda Morton, a chaplain at the U.S. Air Force Academy, who will soon be shipping out to Okinawa after she spoke up about what she called systemic and pervasive problems of religious proselytizing. Captain Morton, I wish you'd describe for us what you have seen going on here. What is the problem as you see it?
Yes, I think that the problem does not reside in the discrete incidences that so many people focus on, as if the cadets simply didn't know how to play nice with each other.
Mm-hmm.
If that were the issue, we'd put them all in a room for 15 minutes and tell them to play nice with each
right.
other, and we'd be done with it. The issue has to do with the leadership, and the fact that the leadership allows and encourages the association of official governmental power with particular religious expression, thus making that particular religious expression the official religious expression of the Air Force Academy. And not only that, when confronted with incidences of this in regard to leadership and chaplaincy, the institution has chosen to be disingenuous about it, to cover it up, to lie, if you will.
So when you say there's systematic and pervasive religious proselytizing, what do you mean? Flesh the picture out for us.
Well, what I mean is that there's an atmosphere at the academy in which it is established and accepted that when you say the word Christian at the academy, you mean conservative evangelical Christians. You don't mean a broad range of Christian expression, and you certainly, when you mean spiritual at the academy, you don't mean a broad panoply of spiritual expression there. And when character development is associated with a conservative Christian ideology, that is, if you want to develop your character
mm-hmm.
the way it needs to be developed mm. as an Air Force officer, then you need to adopt the tenets of evangelical Christianity. That crosses the line. That crosses the constitutional line.
And you've said that you joined the armed forces to defend the Constitution that you see being offended here.
That's correct. We all did.
Yet, you're talking about fellow officers here who joined with the same goal in mind. Are you saying that non-born-again Christians and non-Christians in general are somehow given a second rank, a back seat, insulted, offended? How does it work on the ground?
I'm saying that when examples of what is good character and when officers stand up and clearly identify their particular evangelical journey with that which builds character, and this is done in an exclusivistic manner, then you have a problem, because the message that you are sending to the cadets is there is an accepted way to establish character here, and that you can expect that out in the Air Force as well. And that way to get ahead, and that way to show that you have the kind of character that the Air Force wants you to have, is to adopt conservative evangelical Christian ideology.
There's a way, there's one way, and that's it. You also say that the religious tolerance program that you helped to create for the Academy was watered down before it began to be used with the cadets there. How so?
Well, we had created a program, and anyone who does staff work knows that those things change along the way. So that's no problem. I guess what concerned me was the way in which it was changing and why it was changing. At one point, we gave a special presentation of what was then an hour-and-a-half program, which included many clips of diverse kinds of spirituality, Buddhism, Native American spirituality. We had a clip from Schindler's List.
Mm-hmm.
And the program was emphasizing an experiential opportunity for cadets to see and experience the wonders of the diversity of spirituality that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
When this was shown to the two-star chief of chaplains, Major General Baldwin, at the completion of this, he looked at us and said, "Why is it in your presentation that the Christians never win?"
What did he mean by that?
I believe that he meant that he saw the world and he saw this presentation as some kind of cosmic battle between Christians and everyone else, and that it was his expectation that Christians ought win a goodly part of the time. And somehow he did not feel that that Christians were winning enough in this presentation.
And in part because of his opposition, this presentation that was cut from 90 minutes to 50 minutes. The segments on other religions were clipped right out. Is 50 minutes the entire then antidote to the problem that you're describing at the Air Force Academy? Is that supposed to be it?
No. The Air Force Academy has designed this as the first step in a multi-phased program, but they have not explained what the following phases of what those will consist. So I don't know if there's a great deal of clarity about that. And yes, it was at General Baldwin's suggestion that the diversity clips were taken out and that the Mel Gibson clip was made as an anchor of the piece.
Oh, I didn't realize that. What was the clip from The Passion of the Christ? What was the scene?
It was not a clip from The Passion of the Christ.
I see. Oh, just of Mel Gibson.
From We Were Soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Mel Gibson was there. Captain Morton, if you'd stand by for a moment, I want to welcome into our conversation from New Haven, Connecticut, Kristen Leslie. She's assistant professor in pastoral care and counseling at Yale Divinity School and ordained United Methodist minister. In 2003, she was hired as a consultant by the Air Force Academy to advise chaplains on how to work with survivors of sexual assault. There had been about 150 allegations of reports of sexual assault at the Academy. In July 2004, she led a team of graduate students to observe pastoral training during basic training at the Air Force Academy. Those observations were written up as the Yale Report, co-written with Captain Morton. Among their findings, overtly evangelical tone at the Academy, the report cited specific examples. Kristen Leslie, thanks for being with us tonight.
Good evening.
You sat down in basic training and with one assignment and came out with another finding that I suppose you didn't expect to come out with. What did you see that led you to include this theme in your report?
Well, our mission was to help assess and improve cadet-centered care that was going on. And so my six graduate students and I spent the week shadowing the chaplains, the active duty and reservist chaplains who were in the midst of basic cadet training. We saw some very good pastoral care going on
mm-hmm.
From the chaplains, being attentive to the cadets, to the basics and the cadre, the training cadre. We watched some worship services being led. And then we saw some matters that concerned us around that got reported in the Yale report.
Give us an example.
On some of the leadership courses, when the cadets were on high rope courses, and some of the basics were struggling, physically struggling, mm-hmm. A number of their colleagues, trying to encourage them, were exhorting them to believe in Jesus, and that Jesus can get you through this, and that we were puzzled by that.
You also reported, if I've got it right, that Protestant cadets were told to proselytize their bunkmates lest they burn in hell.
That's right.
I don't know, what did you come away thinking here? I mean, I don't know how much time you spend in elite military academies in the United States, but what was, as an American, what was your thought?
Well, I have to say, given that our mission was to help assess and improve general pastoral care, we were puzzled, recognizing that the six graduate students and I had no previous experience in that environment, and I had visited it three previous times.
Mm-hmm.
But given the fact that we were told that the work in basic cadet training was to build unit cohesion, to start basics toward leadership development for good order and discipline, we didn't understand how some of these examples were fitting into that. So the very instructions that we had been given by the Air Force Academy, this seemed to be an aberration.
You're concerned that it might actually be driving the cadets apart.
Right.
Kristen Leslie, Captain Morton, I wish you'd stand by for a moment. I want to get the voice of the Academy in here, if I may. Earlier, I spoke with Lieutenant Colonel Laurent Fox, Director of Public Affairs at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. I asked him how the Academy was responding to allegations of systemic problems of evangelical proselytizing and intolerance on the Air Force campus.
Well, I believe that is Chaplain Morton's opinion, and she's perfectly allowed to have that opinion. However, it's not what our facts are showing us and not what we found through several methods, one of surveys of faculty and staff and also of cadets, in addition also through focus groups and through feedback from graduates such as Mikey Weinstein. We've really been discussing this, and we've been very open and public about this issue. We acknowledge we do have some problems here, and that's clear, and that's a fact, and everybody agrees upon that. I just don't believe it's systemic.
What's the nature of the problems that you see?
It really comes down to religious respect and respecting others' beliefs. A lot of it, we feel, is based on ignorance. We feel that folks aren't educated on what you can and can't say and when you shouldn't cross the line. And that's why we're doing our education program.
When you have cadets sent on marching on so-called heathen flights, when you have the football coach promoting his team, Jesus, when you have the Passion of the Christ promoted with flyers around the academy, it begins to sound systemic from the outside, but you say not.
Well, those are all examples that we have brought up and we have discussed and that we found out about through our internal look. And those are our problems that we're addressing. And I think that the fact that we're recognizing those publicly and saying that these did occur. However, systemic to me means across the board. It means the entire academy, and I don't see it that way.
We've seen reports of several dozen complaints, 50, 55 complaints since the year 2000, I guess, of religious affronts of one kind or another, whether slurs or other. Can you give us a flavor of what those complaints have been? Is there a pattern to them?
Basically, what we did, we conducted some focus groups last summer, and we asked the cadets and we asked folks, please give us feedback, anything you know that has happened to you. Eight people came forward over a two-month period and provided this information to the chaplains. Basically, they said certain things like, when I was a freshman 4 years ago, somebody made an inappropriate comment to me. Or when I was in class, and the first day of class, and the instructor said, hi, my name is Mr. Harris, I have a wife, two kids, and I belong to this church, and if anybody would like to belong to the church, come see me after class. There were basically things like that came forward. And what we did is we took those statements and that information, and we helped put it into this training program that we call Respect for the Values of All People.
And that is a 50-minute film that cadets will be seeing?
No, actually it's a 50-minute class. So far, all of the cadets have been trained. Over 4,000 cadets have been trained in this class, and we're also training staff and faculty because we feel this is not just a cadet problem. We feel the problem has shown examples in staff and faculty doing things that are mostly not malicious, but just basically not toeing the line or going over the line of what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And this is just the first phase of our training. We're going to have a phase two and phase three, which is currently being developed, and will start in fall, and it'll be much more in-depth.
Colonel Fox, it's been put forward, and I wonder how you feel about it. Do you believe that the Air Force Academy would be a better place if everyone there was Christian?
Absolutely not. I think that diversity is what makes us the strongest, and that's what makes the Air Force so strong. When you deploy, I've deployed several times, when you deploy, you don't really care if you're in a war zone what religious faith or what race or what age a person is. Basically, you're there, you're part of a team, and you know that the team has to be strong. And the fact of the person's background does not really have a lot to do with that.
Do you think that all the teachers and chaplains at the Academy feel the same way you do?
I'm hoping they do, and that's why we're trying to do this education project and trying to make sure that they understand you don't necessarily have to agree with whatever religion the person is, but you should respect them that they have these beliefs, and they're allowed to have these beliefs.
Lieutenant Colonel Laurent Fox, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Lieutenant Colonel Laurent Fox, Director of Public Affairs at the Air Force Academy. I'm joined by Kristen Lee of the Yale Divinity School, who went out and discovered a pattern that her group thought disturbing at the Air Force Academy, and by Captain Melinda Morton, a chaplain at the Air Force Academy, who's emerged as a kind of dissenter, I guess we'd have to say at this point, from that official line. Captain Morton, you can there hear the formal position, the formal presentation today of the Air Force Academy. Lieutenant Colonel Fox saying this is not a systemic problem. Yes, there are problems, but not systemic. In your view, is this a legitimate disagreement between that view and your own, or is something being hidden or denied here?
I think it's rather obvious that I believe that the Academy is unwilling to look at the deeper problem here. It's very easy to blame this on the cadets. It's very easy to say, we have a few cadets and we have a few faculty that are out of line here. Or this is an issue of respect, because then that makes it a personal issue, and we can have an educative program and we can correct those things. Mm. But if we talk more seriously about the kind of influences that are pervasive at the Academy, those influences which flow out of the close geography of very powerful conservative Christian evangelical organizations, mm-hmm. which sit just off our campus and have been very forward about their intent to be influential on our campus and in the military as a whole.
This is Focus on the Family, Officers Christian Fellowship, the Navigators.
Yes, mm-hmm. correct. Mm-hmm. And those organizations, by the way, are welcomed onto our campus and sponsored by the chaplaincy itself.
Just getting a little too cozy for your comfort there.
I think that the issue here, and the issue you have to come back to, is the constitutional issue.
Mm-hmm.
No one here, absolutely no one here, mm-hmm. is trying to inhibit any individual from their expression of their faith within mission constraints. The Air Force takes that very seriously. The military takes it seriously. That's why we have chaplains in the military, mm-hmm. to ensure that people's spirituality is accommodated. All types of spirituality are accommodated. But just as important, and just as ought to be taken just as seriously, is the issue of not aligning official power and position with any religious or spiritual ideology. And that, I believe, has slipped under the radar.
And we feel your passion for that loud and clear. Kristen Leslie, were you surprised by what you found at the Academy as a civilian coming in?
I was surprised. Given the fact that we were not looking for that. That was not our mission in the midst. Because everything was new in the environment for us, we needed a good amount of translation. And so we continued to go back to the chaplains, and we were just making observational comments to them. And so when we did our two-hour out briefing at the end of our time there and reflected some of the incidents that we saw, we had a good conversation with the chaplains, many of whom disagreed with our interpretation of the events, but none who disagreed that, in fact, those things happened. So it was a matter of interpretation. So we were puzzled and surprised that they found a way for such a conservative evangelical voice to be seen as not divisive.
But rather kind of the mission, at least in some eyes there. Kristen right. Leslie, Captain Melinda Morton in Colorado Springs, please stand by. When we come back, we'll hear from Mikey Weinstein, a grad of the Air Force Academy, whose sons are and have been there, and who's got some complaints. We'll hear from callers as well. You can join us tonight. Were you a cadet at the Academy recently? How was it for you? And should there be limits on evangelizing within the U.S. military, or is that a restraint on religious freedom? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about God and the U.S. Air Force Academy, about allegations of systemic religious proselytizing and intolerance where the country's Air Force elite is trained. You can join the conversation tonight. Where does the church-state line belong when it comes to faith and our fighting forces? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined tonight by Kristen Leslie of the Yale Divinity School. She went to Colorado Springs to look into sexual assault and pastoral care at the Air Force Academy and found something like a dominant orthodoxy that surprised her there, religious orthodoxy. We're also joined tonight by Captain Melinda Morton, a chaplain at the Air Force Academy, who, in her own words, may be ending her Air Force career by speaking out on what she sees as the crossing of a constitutional line. We're joined right now from Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Mikey Weinstein. He is a lawyer and 1977 graduate of the Air Force Academy, now an outspoken critic. His family has long had ties to the service academies. His father graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. His son, Casey, graduated from the Air Force Academy last year. His son, Curtis, is currently stationed there. Mikey Weinstein, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Tom. I'd also like to mention my daughter-in-law, who's going to be marrying my son in 4.5 weeks, also is one of my son's classmates. She also graduated in the class of 2004.
So your family pretty fully integrated in the U.S. military, and what have you seen going on at the Air Force Academy?
Well, before I get to that, I want to completely disabuse your listening audience. I was disgusted when I heard that Lieutenant Colonel Fox use my name as someone that the Academy has been getting feedback from.
Kind of affectionately.
That would be lie number 1,510. Let me start off by saying that I heard, when I listened to extremely brave and courageous people like Captain Morton and Professor Leslie and crusading journalists like Pam Zubek, I'm very heartened. But I want to tell you about, because you've asked, what's happened there. Let me tell you, Tom, and your audience, about four specific brief things that I think will lay a clear picture to you. Every military installation, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, has a weekly paper that's fully federally funded. For 10 straight years, until I stopped it and our people stopped it, the Academy's based newspaper, called the Academy Spirit, ran a full-page ad on the issue right before Christmas that stated on the back of it, essentially, it said, it had in big letters, "We, the undersigned, are here to state that the only real hope for mankind is Jesus Christ. If you'd like to talk about Jesus, come by and talk to one of us." Now, it was signed by 16 academic department heads or deputy heads, 9 permanent professors, the then-current dean, the current dean now, Brigadier General Dana Bourne, the then-current vice dean, the current director of athletics, Dr. Hans Mew, the fabled football coach, Fisher DeBerry, about 250 of the other senior leaders at the Academy, and their spouses, and included 4 of the most vitriolic sectarian direct quotes out of the New Testament.
This is a paid ad, but you're saying signed on to by a very large portion of the leadership of the Academy.
Yeah, not one cadet. Secondly, about 12 years ago, when Focus and Dobson and his people opened
James
up
Dobson,
their,
head of Focus on the Family, yes.
Right, when they opened up their campus across the street from the Academy, some genius at the Academy that probably would have made Thomas Jefferson and James Madison projectile vomit authorized the fabled Air Force Academy Wings of Blue parachute team to parachute down out of an Air Force airplane out of the blue Colorado azure blue skies onto the campus of Focus carrying, quote, the keys of heaven, and they presented them to James Dobson and his people. Thirdly, there are numerous brown bag lunches that occur at the Academy that are often attended by very senior people. And remember, this is a military environment. When I see senior people there, there have been innumerable ones. The one I want to mention to you that just stuck out kind of like a tarantula on a wedding cake was January of last year when there was a flyer out in front of the huge lectern that stated, "Today's lecture, this is an official Air Force Academy event. Do not take this flyer down," which never appears in anything else.
Yes.
And you know, Tom, and listening audience there, as to what the title of the the brown bag lunch
Please
was.
Please tell us.
"Why We Cannot Let You Have Your God While We Have Ours." Number 4, on April 19th, while 6 of the RSVP Kool-Aid classes, as I call them.
This is the tolerance diversity training class.
Right, exactly why they were going on at exactly the same time. There was a co-sponsored, a different meeting going on, separated only by a common wall, at the same place, same lectinars. There were six of these other things going on.
Yes.
That was put on by the Christian Leadership Ministries, also completely co-sponsored by the U.S. Air Force Academy chaplains, which, by the way, have the main stewardship of the RSVP program. And we're actually conducting the other six RSVP programs at
all
the
right.
same
yep.
time.
Yep.
And the twin goals of those programs, as I'm sure Chaplain Morton will tell you, is to push pluralism and secularism. And in fact, in Dr. Leslie's Yale report, there was a whole section about how the Academy was miserably flunking in the areas of pluralism. So let's remember secularism and pluralism.
Yes, okay,
by RSVP. However, in this meeting, where Brigadier General Johnny Wida was attending with his full uniform and the stars on his shoulders, along with other senior Academy leaders, there was a flyer out in front of that room. And you know what that one stated, Tom?
No.
It stated, again, official Air Force Academy
yes.
Event. Do not take this down. Co-sponsored by the Christian Leadership Ministries and the U.S. Air Force Academy chaplains. The title was "Danger and Warning Signs to the Followers of Jesus: Pluralism and Secularism." Now, look, we can sit here all day long and talk about it. We had a lot of people that screamed about whether Terry Schiavo's feeding tube could be taken out. But the nice thing in America is we have a social contract. We've decided that politically, sexually, and religiously, and everything else, we're going to surrender ourselves to the state. The state means the executive branch, which enforces, the legislative branch, which passes laws, and, of course, the judicial branch, which interprets the law. We have over 200 years of case law, and if you take a look at the Americans United report, which is on the Internet, the 14-page report delivered a couple weeks ago to Secretary Rumsfeld,
threatening to sue,
it is filled with case law that makes this a one-inch Tiger Woods putt to determine as to what's happening at the Academy. In other words, remember with the Terry Schiavo thing, the score was 26-0 with state and federal judges, many of whom were Republicans, completely coming down on the side of Michael Schiavo.
Mikey, I want to ask you, you graduated from the Academy in 1977. Your family is Jewish. When you were at the Academy, did you feel this kind of pressure?
I had an incident that happened to me that was clearly an anomaly, but there was nothing like this there.
What about your sons who are there more recently and now?
Pardon me?
What about your sons? What's their experience been?
Remember, the people that first brought this to my attention were not my family, not my daughter-in-law, mm-hmm. not my son Curtis or my son Casey, but Christian members of the staff of the Academy. I've been somewhat prominent there through the years, giving a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, money, and other things. When I was at the White House for 3.5 years,
yep.
I would often come back and lecture at the Academy because I love it. Let me make it very clear. I'm not an enemy of it. I love the Academy. I love my nation. I love our military. I feel very much to those of your listeners that are old enough to remember that famous Walt Disney movie, Old Yeller. I feel like I stuck a gun through the cage at the end of the movie, and I'm trying to shooting the dog. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. But to sit there, I mean, Lieutenant General John Rosa, who's the superintendent and his dual hat as the university president, told me six or seven weeks ago, I put it in my Palm Pilot, when I said, John, why are you saying this is not systemic? You know it is. And he said to me, well, his own words, it clearly, Mikey, this is inbred here and it permeates everything. I put it in my Palm Pilot. So I said, why aren't you telling the people it's systemic? And he dodged the question. It was very obvious where things were. And let me also, so in addition to the systemic problem, Tom, there's two or three other problems. Not one general there at the Academy, I don't mean they're flunkies,
yes.
in this highly vertically encrusted organization, not one general, General Dana Bourne, General John Wida, General John Rosa, or even the Director of Athletics, has ever met with a group of aggrieved minority religion cadets or majority religion cadets. Because remember, this is not a Jew-Christian thing, Tom. It's an evangelical Christian versus everybody else thing. The Methodists, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, they're not used to this. We're Jews. We're used to it. But many Catholics, about 117 people have come forward to me, and not one time has any of the generals ever met with any of them. The other four people, like in the sexual assault scandal.
Mikey Weinstein, I've got to ask you to hold it there. We feel your energy, but I really want to get to our callers. They've been waiting patiently here. If you'll bear with us, Will is calling from Apex, North Carolina. Will, you're on the air.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on your show.
Good to have you, Will.
Well, I'm a Catholic in Apex, which is a largely evangelical Christian town.
All right.
And, well, you do get this thing occasionally, this sort of, have you accepted Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If not, you're going to burn in hell, you know? And
mm-hmm.
and it's very interesting because I think that that kind of radical evangelization or that attempted evangelization, it's not right and it doesn't work and it's an injustice to Christianity because it's inevitably going to turn people away. And so in that sense, I think whoever's doing it on the campus is wrong to do it and wrong to promote it in that way. I don't think that includes asking people, you know, to talk to you about Jesus Christ.
Well, let me ask you. I've been watching your line here on the screen for a few minutes, and I think you called up to say that the critics were too harsh. Have you changed your mind listening to this?
No. I believe they were too harsh because their criticism generally extends to alleging that they don't support religious diversity at all. That they're completely against it. I mean, I don't know how Christian they've really been acting, but it is one of the basic tenets of the faith that it is a duty to evangelize, to spread the faith. And this does not mean that Christians have a monopoly on salvation, as people like to say so often.
Right, but it's a duty to evangelize, right, in the Bible. Well, that's an interesting point, and thank you for raising it. Captain Morton, what about that? Is that what you're seeing, conservative Christians who believe that whatever the setting, it's their duty to proselytize?
I believe that certainly the conservative Christian evangelicals articulate verbal proselytization as a primary duty of Christianity. Whether or not that's an appropriate articulation of the tenets of Christianity, I suppose, could be reframed in a more profound theological discussion.
The issue here is
how does that take its form in what is a regulated environment of the United States Air Force Academy. The issue here is that conservative Christian evangelicals clearly look at the promulgation of their ideology as a kind of exercise in market capitalism. And they view the academy as a market, and it's a regulated market. And what do good capitalists do when confronted with a regulated market? Well, they either subvert the regulations or they go around the regulations.
Mm.
And in this case, I think they're very good at doing both. They subvert the regulations by saying over and over again a mantra that, you know, historically, separation of church and state really isn't valid. So it's okay.
You're hearing that on the campus from officers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there really isn't separation of church and state. That's really not a historical reality. So what is said by that? So it's okay if you break these Department of Defense regulations. So it's okay if you circumvent Air Force policy, because there's really no historic grounding for doing that.
And with that, a kind of new regime is asserted. Steve is calling from Falmouth, Massachusetts. Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm a former Army officer, and what I'm hearing in this conversation brings to mind a concept called command climate. You know, it's neither, you know, we're talking about whether this is just anecdotal or systematic. And in fact, the military recognizes a concept that in some sense falls between those two. It's perhaps not, you know, legally provable as systematic, but at the same time, it's meaning to all these anecdotes.
And Steve, as a former officer, what do you think of the climate you're hearing described?
I'm hearing this as a leadership failure. I'm hearing this as undermining the good order, discipline, and effectiveness unit. But nobody wants to stand up and say, you know, the command climate is being fouled by these things, and that's a leadership problem. And frankly, the leadership problem goes all the way back to the commander in chief, who is creating a command climate that is permitting these things.
Steve, we've got it, and we thank you for your call. Mikey Weinstein, General Charles Baldwin, chief chaplain for the Air Force, was quoted over the weekend saying, "The tension always is, when is a person crossing the line, or when are they being a positive person of faith like our president?"
That is a bunch of, I know you're on a 7-second delay, I can't tell you what that is. It is completely counterintuitive. We have case law that is absolutely volume on this. The Academy is a micron away from being in federal court. I'll leave it there. We'll see what happens on Monday. But I can tell you that when Colonel Fox stated what some of the professors are saying, he didn't quite get it right, Tom. I want your listening audience to listen carefully. We've had a number of officers that have started out, "Hello, everybody," to their classes the first day. This is "Welcome to Physics 101.
Yeah.
My name is Major Doe. We're going to have a great time this semester. I'm a born-again Christian. If you're not one, I hope you will be by the end of the semester. Read the subtext. It's a military organization. It's been there for 51 years. It's a military academy. Somebody is disciplined every 5 minutes for 51 years, but in 51 years, not one person has ever been disciplined for religious intolerance. Not one single time."
And you're saying...
What the man just said from Massachusetts, and I'll be quiet, Tom, just let me get this in. is, and it's absolutely correct, it's a leadership problem. It's not that these cadets are now using Jesus as a weapon. Oh, these pesky cadets, they go after women, they drink too much, they break the honor code. It's a leadership problem, and it extends all the way up. What we want is a leadership change. We want the academy to admit that they have a seriously systemic problem, and they're not doing that. They're lying, they're covering up, and they're crucifying brave people of incredible integrity and character that the academy has nothing it can teach Chaplain Melinda Morton. I can tell you that now. They should be learning from her.
I want to get one more call here. Bernard is calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Bernard, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I've been listening to the discussion.
Yes, sir. What do you think?
I'd like to just ask a couple of questions. How is it that people who are being trained to fly high-performance aircraft don't have the fortitude to withstand, hopefully in a winsome way, questions about spiritual issues? Do you believe that these cadets have checked their freedom at the door to speak on religious issues by entering the academy?
Let me just ask further.
We've just got a little time, Bernard. Go straight to it.
Was it fair to the effort of evaluating what was going on at the academy to bring in Harvard Divinity School?
Yale Divinity School.
to bring in the Harvard Divinity School team. Did they have an evangelical representative or at least an advisor to advise them on this?
Interesting questions both. Bernard, our time is so short, I apologize, but I want to get this to Captain Morton, who's lived with this. Captain Morton?
Yes, I want to say that the issue here is not whether or not our cadets are clever enough and resilient enough to withstand onslaughts of an evangelical nature. The issue here, as a couple callers before said, is that this is a command problem. This is the association evangelical, conservative Christian, evangelical Christianity with command there. And the clear message to cadets is, this is what command expects of you.
And Kristen Leslie, let me just put it to you, the suggestion there that you come out from New Haven, Connecticut, and you just don't understand this environment, that this is natural and accepted, and you're up in arms because you're an elite Eastern University person.
Because we didn't understand the environment going in, we went in with no agenda. We were there. We let the Air Force Academy set the agenda for us. That was to look at the environment and reflect back what we saw. So because we were agenda-free going in and we reflected back this conservative element, this conservative evangelical element,
you just held up a mirror.
Right.
Yes.
Well, one of the things that we did see, because I am a professor of pastoral care and counseling, is there is a clear distinction between pastoral care and evangelism. And so whether or not you agree, wherever you fall on a religious spectrum, there is a difference.
Captain Morton, I'm going to give you the last half minute here because you've put a lot on the line. If things go on as they are for, a generation of Air Force officers, what are the implications?
I think the implications are that you are training future leaders, not only of the Air Force, but of the country, in an environment which discounts the Constitution of the United States. That's a huge concern to me. It makes me very sad for my Air Force.
And we can hear it tonight. Kristen Leslie at Yale Divinity School, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Mikey Weinstein joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico, a graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy. Two sons, one out, one there now. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. And Captain Melinda Morton, who will soon be shipped out to Okinawa after speaking out. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.